You're listening to Encouraging Words to Give You Hope. This is a podcast with a mission to encourage the everyday believer to dive into the Word of God and make it the meditation of their heart. I'm your host, Hope D, or Hope Ann, the author and founder of Meditate Hope, and tune in every other Sunday as we discuss several different topics, dive into God's Word together, and encourage ourselves in the Lord. So sit back, grab your Bible, and take some notes as we meditate on the encouragement God gives us in His Word, one podcast episode at a time. Welcome back to another episode, and welcome if this is your first episode listening to the podcast. Today we have an exciting one because we are wrapping up our series, Choose This Day, all about being devoted disciples in today's world. In this series, we have discussed making the choice of who will serve and why it's a daily choice we must make, how we can clean up the idols in our lives in three practical steps, and also what wholehearted devotion to God looks like in our everyday lives. And if you haven't checked out those episodes or blog posts, make sure you go back and listen to them or read them. This whole series will be linked in today's show notes. So now we come to the final week of our series, which is really the second most important topic after choosing to serve the Lord and accepting Him as our personal Lord and Savior, which is living out the Great Commission. This week, we will discuss the number one calling we all have as believers, three things to remember as we live on mission, and how Joshua's declaration of, "As for me and my house," back in the Old Testament, is a declaration for generations. Before Jesus ascended into heaven at the Mount of Olives, He told His disciples in Mark 16, verse 15 through 18, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." These verses are known to many of us as the Great Commission. This right here shows us the number one calling of every believer and the calling we all share as believers. The dictionary defines commission as the following: an instruction, command, or duty given to a person or group of people. When Jesus gave us the Great Commission, it wasn't just something nice to say as He said goodbye to His disciples and went into heaven. Going into all the world is a command from God to every one of His disciples, not a suggestion. But you may think that with this command, it's, you know, only a command for missionaries and those who have been called to the mission field, when really, that is just a straight-up lie from the enemy. One thing that I have shared a lot in the almost past 5 years, which is like a wow God moment, of writing devotionals, is that you don't have to be a pastor or a missionary or have a quote-unquote degree to spread the good news or be on fire for Jesus. For example, when God called Moses to lead His people out of Egypt, Moses started to give excuses upon excuses of all the disqualifications that he thought he had because of his faltering lips. But God didn't look at the things that many people, and even Moses himself, would think would disqualify him from doing what God had called him to do. God was looking for a teachable and willing heart who would accept His call and follow wholeheartedly after Him. And then we see when the leadership was passed on to Joshua, he had some pretty big shoes to fill as Israel's new leader. When he was under Moses, he didn't know it yet, but one day he would lead his nation into battle and finally into the promised land. Despite both Moses and Joshua's past brokenness and the many obstacles they would have to face in choosing to serve the Lord and follow His call, God still chose them and promised them He would be there the whole way through. And He was. And as they committed themselves to the Lord blessed and guided them every step of the way. You don't have to be a perfect vessel to be used by God. God is looking for a surrendered vessel and an available vessel. We may not be perfect disciples, but are we surrendered and available disciples of God? This command to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation is a command we can live in obedience to every single day. We can live on mission every day by being a missionary on the mission field God has called us to. While many of us may think of a missionary's mission field as a place abroad, our everyday mission field can simply be right where God has placed us. Whether that's at school, the workplace, at an event for your kids, or you're going grocery shopping, or in your neighborhood and backyard, or your family and friends, may we be a light for Jesus everywhere we set our feet. You don't have to be a missionary to spread the good news. You just have to be a willing and available disciple. There are souls all around us in need of the good news of God's saving grace. Share it. With the call that we all have as believers comes the number one mission of every believer, which is to strive to live as Jesus lived. When Peter talks about living a godly life in 1 Peter chapter 2, he writes this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. To this you are called because Christ suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. We are called to share the good news with others. And when you think of the word calling, you may think of your future job God has in store for you or your current job situation. But as believers, our number one calling from God is to share his good news with those around us. And as Christ's disciples, we are to follow in his steps. When Jesus left this earth and ascended into heaven, he left us an example to follow. Jesus loved on those who were hard to love, stayed committed to the truth of God's word, stayed close to the heart of God, and practiced humility even as the Son of God. We too should examine our lives and ask ourselves, am I living as Jesus would live, and am I making it my number one mission to follow in his steps? As Christians, we should be careful of how we live in every aspect of our lives, both in our words and actions. Our life should reflect the character and goodness of God. Why? Because the way we live might be someone's only encounter with just how good God is. And with this, may we remember that God's word is for everyone, not just for one country or race, but truly, everyone needs God's word. As it says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God's word is not meant for us to just keep it to ourselves. The outpour of the joy of our salvation should be a heart eager to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us. Now that we have discussed the number one calling and mission for every believer, we'll be diving into three things we should remember as we live on mission. Number one, have a servant's heart. If we want to live out the Great Commission, one of the first steps in doing so is to choose to have a servant's heart. Even Jesus, as the Son of God, when he was here on earth, took on the posture of a servant. He came not to be served, but to serve others. As it says in Matthew 20, verse 28, just as the Son of God did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. One example of Jesus taking on the posture of a servant is when he washed his disciples' feet. In this situation, we see that Jesus was willing to come down, humble himself, and serve them, and also be an example for us to follow. Jesus says in John 13, verse 14 through 17, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Here is some insight from Enduring Word Commentary into what Jesus means by saying, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. It says, if Jesus, who is our master and who sends us, if this Jesus humbly served in this way, it is even more appropriate for his servants and sent ones to do so. When we serve God, we have to be willing to learn from God and be open to what he has to say. If he tells us to go share the gospel to that person and be light to them, or convicts you saying, I am calling you to serve at this ministry at your church, we should have a willing heart to simply say yes and follow the direction of our master. In every step of the way in leading the children of Israel into the promised land, Joshua had to be open and willing to hear from God, follow his direction, trust in God's timing, and believe in what God had promised to the people of Israel. At times, taking on the posture of a servant as we share the good news can be challenging and uncomfortable. I know for me, in the past almost 2 years of this ministry, God has stretched me, taught me new things, called me to step out into what he has called me to do, and also humbled me in many ways, knowing that it's not all about me, but it's all about him. When sharing the good news, may we remember that we are simply God's faithful servant, ready to say yes to whatever he has to say, which can simply look like praying, "Teach me, O Lord, speak what you want to speak, and have me do what you want me to do." Number 2, let your life be a reflection of your master. Ask yourself this question today. Does your life reflect the God you serve, or does it reflect the ways of the world? When you look at someone's life, their life will always reflect the person or thing they serve or what they are truly living their lives for. As Christians, our lives should be a reflection of our Master, Jesus Christ, and as his servants, we should desire to be more like him each and every day. As we reflect yet again on the story of Joshua, we can clearly see that Joshua's heart was all in for the Lord, seeking after the things of God and wanting to do what is pleasing in God's sight. Every day we should ask ourselves if our lives are truly reflecting our Master, Jesus Christ. Is your life based on your words, actions, what you devote your time to, or even what is consuming your thoughts and heart a reflection of the God you serve? Jesus even tells us how the world will know that we are his disciples in John 13, verse 34 through 35, which says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Notice that the world will not know that we are Jesus' disciples by our power, our righteousness, or the good works we do, but by our love. By our love for one another. By our love for God. When we love one another, others will see our love for God and see God in us, because God is love. When we choose to serve God and obey the command the Great Commission gives us, we are living for something beyond ourselves. We are living in light of eternity, knowing that all in this earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord will never pass away. And the most important thing we could ever do on this earth is share the gospel with everyone we encounter and give glory to God. And with that, the greatest person we could ever live for is for the one who saved us from the penalty of death, Jesus Christ. And with that, may we not merely just be hearers of the Great Commission, but doers of the Great Commission, living on mission in our everyday lives, putting our faith in action. As James writes in James 1, verse 22 through 25, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." And James also writes in James 2 verse 17, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." May we live beyond a Sunday morning service and a Wednesday night. I pray that we as disciples of Christ would choose to let our lives be a reflection of the God we serve and the goodness of God, knowing that today matters for eternity, and that we should not only be hearers of the Great Commission, but also take the action of being doers of the Great Commission. So we have talked about having a servant's heart and letting our life be a reflection of our master. And now the third thing we should remember as we live on mission in our everyday lives is to stand firm amid opposition and obstacles. This past January, my church had revival services, and on night one, the speaker said this: "When you get in the game, opposition will come." He gave the example that when a basketball player goes into a basketball game, he will face opposition and someone will start blocking and defending him from taking a basket once he gets into the game, not when he's sitting on the bench. And the speaker gave the connection that the same goes for us as Christians. When we quote-unquote get our heads in the game and make the choice to serve the Lord wholeheartedly, we will face opposition and obstacles along the way. As Jesus tells us in Matthew 10, verse 22, you will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. In the Bible, the people who God used faced many obstacles and opposition when they gave their wholehearted yes to God. In Joshua's circumstances, he would lead the Israelites battle after battle to conquer the people living in the land God had promised them. Joshua would have to learn to trust God every step of the way. In Daniel's situation, he was thrown into the den of lions when he was caught praying when prayer was outlawed in Babylon. But even while being among a den of lions, God protected Daniel, and God's favor was upon him as he chose to remain faithful in prayer to his God. But even in the difficulties we may face, may we look back to the Word of God and the encouragement it offers us, such as 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, where Paul writes, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong." And when the enemy might speak lies that we are quote-unquote unequipped or disqualified to share the good news, may we remember what the Word of God says. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 through 10 gives us some great encouragement on this, so follow along in your Bible as I read. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever." And when the time comes and God calls us home, may we be able to say what Paul says in his letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 through 8. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." And now, as we wrap up this series, let's take a moment to reflect on all we have learned in this series, Joshua's story, where this series is based, and have an open heart to what God has to teach us today. Throughout Joshua's life, we see that he lived a life of faithfulness that continuously chose to serve the Lord. Here are some of the choices Joshua made, which Enduring Word Commentary records and recaps for us. Which, by the way, make sure you go check out Enduring Word Commentary for some amazing insights into this passage, and it will be linked in today's show notes. Joshua chose to fight against the Amalekites, choosing when it might cost everything. Joshua chose to reject the golden calf, choosing when the flesh might be satisfied. Joshua chose to serve the Lord by serving Moses, choosing a humble place. Joshua chose to believe God's promise about the promised land, choosing against the majority. Joshua chose to recognize the leadership of the captain of the Lord's army, choosing surrender to God. And Joshua chose to take leadership of Israel and lead them into the land, choosing faith instead of unbelief. In all these examples, we see how Joshua was faithful in the responsibility God had given to him, which was to lead Israel. And even with the many temptations all around him to serve other gods, Joshua still chose to serve the Lord. As he states in Joshua 24, verse 15, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But," key word right there, "as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Here we see that Joshua encourages us to live a life of faithfulness, not just for ourselves, but also for our families and for generations to come. Joshua left an example not only for his family as he passed down his faith commitment, choice to serve the Lord, but also left an example to his country and generations to come, as he is even a good example for us to follow today. Our choice to serve the Lord can affect generations to come, those around us, and it can stir up revival in our communities, our country, and our world. But it all starts with that daily choice we have to make to serve the Lord, which is us saying that we desire to be His devoted disciple. And after we make that choice, as we saw in weeks 2 and 3 of this series, we will need to go through the heart work, which can be hard work at times, such as cleaning up the idols in our lives and choosing to commit to not just devotion to God, but wholehearted devotion to God. And that leads us to the command to obey and the calling to say yes to, which is the Great Commission. When we are willing not only to say yes to the journey with Jesus, but also go all in for Him, it can change everything. Just imagine all that God can do with a wholehearted yes in a fully devoted disciple. Though the journey of choosing to serve the Lord may have its highs and lows, may we take comfort knowing that Jesus will be with us the whole way through. And when we submit our whole lives to Him, He can indeed do more than we can ask or imagine in and through us. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast episode. I pray that it encouraged you and brought you closer to God. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast wherever you are listening so you don't miss out on any future episodes. And if you enjoy listening to this podcast, don't forget to leave a rating and review on the Apple Podcast app. Or if you're listening on Spotify, you can also leave a rating there. Not only is it greatly appreciated, but it helps the podcast grow and helps spread the good news to more people. And for all the Meditate Hope links from the blog to the podcast and the Instagram, it's always linked in every episode's show notes. And with that, thanks for listening to this week's podcast episode and have a blessed day.